Well, I don't know about you. Got to have some people on. I mean, we're going to have at least some feedback. I'm sorry, Tony, you're going to have to be unmuted. Glenda, you can be unmuted. This is not, there's no discrimination involved in here, but I want to at least hear some groans or some feedback, all right? Excellent. I'm having, I think, probably one of the most wonderful times of my life during this. I know that for a lot of people, it's obviously very tough and there's a lot of suffering out there. But, you know, that there is a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. And I'm not saying that from pride. That's just what the Word of God teaches us throughout, that we are separated. Doesn't mean that we're immune from sickness and disease and so on, but we have a bubble of protection around us, and it's called the presence of the Lord. Amen. And sorry, Janie just obscured the picture somewhat there. She looks quite hairy at the moment. Oh, that's not her. Right. Yes. So the last, what's happened is there's a prayer group started up, which I've joined. And it's every morning I've committed to pray for an hour between 9 and 10. I got in there, sorry, yeah, between 9 and 10. I got in there early, so I chose what it was rather than 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's much more preferable. But I have to say that that time that I said I commit to till the end of this crisis has been really a tremendous blessing for me personally, and I believe for others as well, as God has inspired me to not just to pray, but also to speak into people's lives. I've had prophetic words and so forth, which I believe to be from the Lord. And that's what I believe we can all expect to happen. Now, what do I want to share with us this morning? I want to share with us this morning, as I believe the Lord inspired me to, I want all of us to get as much out of this lockdown as I'm getting, if you're not already. Yeah? That we are enjoying the constraints that are on our life, because what they're doing, they're forcing us into a position where we have no excuse but to hear from God and to fellowship with Him all the time, day in, day out, morning, afternoon, and evening. And it's great. I'm not suggesting that we should just, I see Precious is smiling there. I'm not suggesting that we should just become holier than thou and, you know, wear sackcloth and ashes. We don't need to do that because we're not trying to get to God. God has come to us. Amen. Amen. Good. Good. There's a few people I heard that from. So I believe that there's keys, there are tools that the Lord has given us to do that. And of course, we know without any shadow of doubt that the main tool, the main two tools, if I be so crude in describing them like that, are God's Spirit and God's Word. Amen. Amen. And of course, I'm saying that reverentially. We don't see God's Spirit as a thing. We don't see God's Word as a thing because Jesus is called the Word. But I'm trying to describe it in a way that hopefully is meaningful. So, first of all, let's open our Bibles. And Tony, if you're quick on the ivories there, on the keys, you could actually share a screen if you've got the Bible on your thing and put them up. But it doesn't matter. I could do the same. But we'll continue anyway, or anybody else for that matter. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. See, a day is an amount of time that the Lord actually himself emphasizes a lot in the scriptures. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was evening and there was morning, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. And at the end of it, he looked and he saw that what he created was very good. And he gave us the greater light to rule the day, and he gave us the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. And so we are our lives. We've got a Circadian rhythm in our lives. Our lives are governed by this thing called the day, this period of 24 hours. And the scripture here says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Have you ever thought how many days you've already lived, Jackie? I mean, it's just a phenomenal number. All right? We've been around for a long time. There are days, of course, we break them into hours, hours into minutes, and minutes into seconds. Working from the bottom up, there are 31,537,600 seconds in a year, and that includes the 6 hours for the leap year. Okay? 31 million seconds in a year. That means there are approximately 500,000 minutes in a year. And of course, then we go up from that, how many there are in a day, I don't know, I haven't worked it out. But what I'm saying is that these, you know, you can count a second and it's gone. 60 of them's a minute, 3,600 an hour. And we can count them. And all the Lord is doing is he's telling us to count those days and to see the worth that those days have got. You know, you can achieve more in one day in God than you can in an entire lifetime without him. And there have been times when I've felt, oh, do I really want a drudgery sometimes? You know, you're trying to get into that place in the spirit. And by the way, there is a place to get into. We read in Revelation chapter 1 that John wrote there. He says, he was exiled to Patmos for the sake of the word of God. And I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And sometimes you have to get into that place because there's all the things that are all around us that are trying to distract us and pull us away from the things of God. And they're in our mind and they're cluttering our mind. And listen, folks, if you don't do it already and you can't and you've got the gift and if you haven't asked for it, pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. There's nothing like praying in the spirit to build yourself up in your faith. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but he speaks unto God. Howbeit with his spirit, he speaketh mysteries. And I would encourage us all. I spend 75% or more, 90% sometimes of my time praying in the spirit. And I can't help, if I spend an hour praying in tongues, I can't help but being encouraged and built up in my most holy faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the Lord has given us that gift. And Paul said, I would that all men speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. What is prophecy? Well, prophecy is just allowing the Spirit to speak through you. Amen. And writing it down sometimes and sharing it. I shared a word on Tuesday that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gave me. And I shared it at the prayer meeting. It was no, you know, we should all be doing it. It's no big deal. We think about, oh, well, do you prophesy? Yes, we should all prophesy. Okay, we do it in order, but we should all be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because then we edify one another. We build each other up in the Spirit. Amen. Gosh, I haven't even got to. I've only just read the verse. It's gonna be a long one. No. Okay. Now, what do you get when you spend time with the Lord? Now, of course, you pray. But listen, folks, I want to encourage you today, practically, but also inspire you before I give you some tools to do this practically. The word of God is your very, very, very best friend, right? Look at the person next to you, Janie, and say, you are not my best friend. Louder. I can't hear. Okay. You're not my best friend. You might love your wife. Hopefully you do love your wife. Or you might love your husband. Hopefully you even love your husband. Can you imagine it? But the word of God is your best friend. Listen, I used to sleep with my wife. And my best friend being the word of God. I did it for 25 years, but then I got so fat that I started snoring all the time. And Anne says, can't put up with this. So I'm now exiled. Yes, I've been exiled to the spare room, but I haven't left my best friend behind. My best friend is right next to me every night. She's talking to me all night for 7 or 8 hours a night, inspiring me. I wake up. You know, it's great getting old. You need to go to the toilet sometimes in the night. I wake up in the night and I go into the loo. I come back. I've got 5 more minutes of God's word. Yum, yum. Juicy word to meditate on before I fall back asleep. Oh, by the way, I know it's working when I'm asleep because scriptures come out of my spirit that I don't even know that I knew. Hallelujah. They come out almost daily. Yesterday, I can't remember what it was. I got something. I looked it up and it was exactly word for word in the King James what the Lord caused to come out of my mouth. And I typed it in and there it was in the Psalms. And that's what God's word can do for you, right? It can do for you. It can transform. It can transform every aspect of our lives. It's glorious. Hallelujah. So we never need to become miserable, sad or depressed or anything else because our best friend is always with us. Now, of course, we know God's presence is our best friend, but he manifests himself through his word. And that's why I encourage us to love the word of God. Love the word of God with more than, and I know Precious, if I turn her on, she'll be screaming, yes, amen, amen, amen. I can't recognize her. She looks different today. Oh, she's changed her hair. Okay. Right. It says this in Proverbs 19. It says, also that the soul be without knowledge. It is not good. That the soul be without knowledge. It is not good. Now, we're not talking about general knowledge here. We're not talking, though we enjoy the chase and various other things in our house. But we're not talking about just knowledge. There's nothing wrong with good knowledge. But of course, the thing about knowledge is once you've learnt it, well, apart from some people, you can't forget it. All right? What I mean by that is they learned how to create atomic bombs in the 1930s, 30s and 40s. And once you've learned how to create nuclear bombs, you can't unlearn how to create them. And of course, this was what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was about, that God wanted to protect them from that because yes, there's good, but there's also evil. Listen, folks, we can't go back to a time before the fall. We can't say, right, that's it, dunk, wipe everything out of our brains. God's not going to do that. But what he's done is he's given us his word to counteract the world's evil and the knowledge that the world is pouring out us day by day. Amen? Yeah. It says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, a lovely verse, one that I'm sure that you've heard before. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Huh? Wow, what a scripture. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Right? But then it also says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Isn't that terrifying? You reject knowledge, God says, and he will reject you. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting that that's cut and dry. I'm sure it's the type of knowledge and it's the circumstances. But the point is that God does not want us to be ignorant. Ignorance of the law is no defense. If you get arrested by a policeman and you go to court for doing something, breaking the law, and of course, Graham as a driver, as a truck driver, will know this. You can't just turn around and say, I didn't know about that one, Your Honor. If you drive a vehicle, you have the responsibility to understand the law completely, right? So we can't just turn around and say, well, I didn't know you. Now, people turn around, maybe try, I don't think they will, because I don't think they'll have anything to say. But you hear people say, well, I can always, you know, if I die, I can always say, well, I didn't know anything about this gospel. I didn't know about repentance. That's a lie, because the Bible says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without, what? Excuse. That's right. Can't turn around and claim ignorance. So that's no excuse, folks. We don't want to try that hand. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. That's what it says there in Proverbs 19:2. 19:8 says, he that gets wisdom loves his own soul. Do you love your own soul? Well, the Bible says a man loves himself. So if you really love yourself, then you need to get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means it's the foundation, but it also means it's the head. Principal of a school, for instance. Amen. And he that keeps understanding shall find good. Proverbs 19, once again, 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now listen, if you are a person of understanding, if you're a Christian, and somebody rebukes you, and they do it because of out of love, they're doing it, that's the wisdom of God, that you should receive that reproof and that correction, and as a result of it, you will gain knowledge. I remember many years ago, there was a Pinniger, the name was. Roz might know him, I don't know. They were in Wilton. There was Eunice and, I can't remember his name now, Eunice Pinniger and her husband, Rob Pinniger, that was right. They were ex-missionaries. They turned around to me one day and they said, you know, your problem, John, is you're always justifying yourself. And it was like it was a harsh word at the time, but he were right. And so I could do two things with that. I could dismiss what they said, or I could accept what they said. Then there was John Aves. Some of you may know John Aves. John Aves turned around to me one day and he said, can I ask you a favor, John? I said, yeah, sure. A good friend of mine, you see. He said, yeah. Could you either remove the bumper sticker off your car that says Jesus loves you or something like that, or change your driving? You are a disgrace to the kingdom of God. Oh, boy. I've got an interview tomorrow, folks, online for a job. The Bible says teaching sinners in the way. For people who've been caught speeding, and instead of having a fine and endorsement, they have a chance to sit listening to somebody for 3.5 hours, grinding them into the ground about what rotten, stinking sinners they are for going 35 in a 30-mile-an-hour limit. Isn't that funny? I had a choice. I had to say, okay, I'll remove the bumper sticker. But I didn't. I said, Lord, I want to change. And from that moment on, I started to change my driving style. I'm not saying I go slow. In fact, if the speed limit's 60 miles an hour, I try to keep to 60 miles an hour, even on the roundabouts. But the point is, I do it within the speed limit. And it was just a word that came. It was a word in season from someone who cared. But boy, was it tough at the time. You're a disgrace to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? And Kerry's just said to me, except when you drive a bus. Thank you, Kerry. She sent me a chat message. Yes, that's true, but then you can't talk. Right. Anyway, where are we? 19 verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err from my words of knowledge. Knowledge. Now, what is it? What is knowledge? Well, knowledge, obviously, is information that we gain. But it's not just knowledge that God's word is looking for us to have. It's the application of that knowledge. And the Lord wants to give us the right application of knowledge in every circumstance in our life, in every conversation that we have with people, with every decision that we've got to make. You know, they don't have to be every, what do we have for dinner tonight? I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about decisions that we need to make that could affect not just our lives, but affect other people's lives, could affect the future, our future, could affect people's eternal future. And so God wants us to give us a knowledge for that. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Right? You try thinking without using knowledge, without using words. It's pretty difficult, isn't it? There was a book came out many years ago. I think it was the Day of Triffids, The Chrysalids or something, by John Wyndham. And it was one of my GCE English literature books, which I failed, of course. And it was about these, or was it The Midwich Cuckoo? It's about these children that they could read people's thoughts. And if they read your thoughts and your thoughts were to do them any harm, they'd have you killed. And these people, to try and defend themselves against this, had to try not to think. Can you imagine it? Bizarre, isn't it? It was fictional, science fiction. Anyway. Right. Now, it says in John chapter 6, I'm going to move into the New Testament. It says, John chapter 6, verse 45, it said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Hallelujah. So we're not just talking about the knowledge that comes from the world, but we're talking about the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from God. How do we get wisdom from God? How do we get knowledge from God? Well, we get it from his word. Amen?
Amen.
We get it from his word. His word is a lamp for our feet. It's also a light for our path ahead. Amen? Amen. Psalm 19 says, more to be desired are they than gold. That's the words of God. Yea, than more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. For by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. See, God's word will keep us from being presumptuous. And presumption is a very dangerous thing to do, to presume on God. To say, oh, well, I'm a believer, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah? Well, you can, but if you do the wrong things, there'll be consequences, and we have to live with those consequences. Okay, so John 6, 46, it's written the prophets, they should be taught of God. This morning, I was reading, I don't even know what it was, so I can find it now. I was reading John chapter 7, and the situation, I've never really seen this before. I don't know if it's like this for you, but I read the same scripture time and time again, and I get something completely fresh out of it, some revelation. And it just astonishes me. For instance, earlier in John, I think it's John chapter 5, Jesus goes and he heals a guy who spent 38 years at a pool waiting for someone to lure him in when the angel stirs the water so he can get healed. And Jesus says, take up your bed and get out of here. So he takes up his bed and he's found carrying a bed by the religious rulers on the Sabbath. Can you imagine it? So they turn around to him and they said, who healed you? No, they didn't say that. They said, who told you to carry your bed? Can you imagine that? They're more interested in who told this guy to carry his bed than who, after 38 years of being a paralytic, healed him. Now, I call that hardness of heart, wouldn't you? Yes? They were hard-hearted, weren't they? And that's the problem. The word of God would just bounce off them. But this morning, I was reading about, and again, I've read this many times, that when Jesus, in John chapter 6, told them they're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood, wow. That was hard words, and they all turned back, except the 12, who said, when he asked them, are you going as well? They said, where to, Lord? You've got the words of eternal life. So he said, okay. So he then went from Judea into Galilee because it was safer to do so. Was Jesus a coward? No, but it was not yet his time. And so he used wisdom. And he went with the inspiration, I'm sure, of his heavenly father. He went into Galilee and his brothers, his flesh and blood, if that's the right word, born of Mary and Joseph, brethren, came to him. And they said this, he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. The Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said to him, depart hence, go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. They wanted to. They were taunting him. Can you imagine it? They were taunting him. Yeah, come on then. You think you're so hotshot. Go into Judea and try that out there and see what happens. But of course, the Feast of Tabernacles was coming, and they all knew, all the religious rulers knew, that if he was a real Jew, he'd be there for the feast, right? So they looked out for him. So his brethren went off to the feast, and he says, I'm not going just yet. And of course, he snuck in quietly, secretly. And then what did he do? He went and stood in the temple, and he started preaching. Why? Because it was his time to do so. That's how we should be led, folks. We shouldn't be taunted. We shouldn't be on the back foot. We shouldn't be, other people shouldn't make the decisions for the choices we make. We should be making the decisions based on what our Heavenly Father tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Right. I'm coming towards the middle. No, I'm coming towards the end. Okay, so what happened then is he goes to the temple, and the Jews marvel, saying, how knows this man letters having never learned? How knows this man letters having never learned? What a glorious verse this is. Listen, folks, I know that my wife, she's got a bachelor. She's got a bachelor of science with honours. And there's probably several, and I'm sure all you Africans have got at least one or two master's degrees. And then you do the ones, once you've got them for your mum, you do the ones that you do for yourself, right? Come on, Nigerians. You know you do your first two masters for your mum, and then you do what you want for yourself. Am I right, Precious? Am I right, Precious?
Not exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Not
thank
exactly.
You. Not exactly. Oh, you only did one for your mum, did you? Okay.
No, I didn't do any for my mum.
You didn't. Oh, well, you're not really Nigerian then. Oggy, did you do one for your mum?
No.
You didn't either. Wow, it's a strange. These aren't typical Nigerians I got here. These are very special Nigerians. Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So this man is not educated. They're saying, how come? How come he doesn't? He's not been to the University of Jerusalem. He doesn't know stuff. How come that he is? He's so learned in these things. And then just look what it says here. This is awesome. He says, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." Wow, isn't that glorious? I'm not speaking for myself. I'm not speaking on my own accord. You see, it says of Peter and John, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin in about Acts chapter 3, it says they looked at them and they realized they were ignorant. In other words, they were uneducated, unlearned, ignorant, unlearned people, base people. But they marveled, what at, that they'd been with Jesus. Are you with Jesus today? Can you read? Can you read the word of God? Can God get that word inside you, and so it comes out of your mouth at the right time, in the right circumstances, whether that's literally out of your mouth or from a typewriter keyboard or some other way, a computer keyboard, but you can inspire people because the word of God is in you, and the doctrine that you have is not your doctrine. It's the doctrine of your Heavenly Father in heaven. Glory be to God. Are you excited?
Amen.
I'm excited. Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Back to where I was, and as I say, I'm drawing towards a close. Right, he that gets his word a bit further on. Right, so what do we need to do in order to become... You see, I think there's a hump that we've got to get across. When I first got saved, I was told to have quiet times. Anybody here have quiet times? Anyone have quiet times? Yes, quiet times. What's a quiet time? A quiet time is where we very generously devote a portion of our lives to the Lord each day. Is that right? We are very generous, aren't we? Aren't we? Come on. We're very generous. We'll have a quarter of an hour in the morning, perhaps, or half an hour in the morning if we're really good. And we'll spend that time somber with our everyday with Jesus or whatever we've got. And we'll sit there and we'll have a prayer. And we'll pray for our family. We'll pray for our relatives and so forth. Okay. Look, I'm not putting my hand up and say that I've not done that. I've done that. And sometimes I do that. But that's not what we're here for, folks. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Amen. Our lives are His. We are His. We belong to Him. He is our very essence of our lives. And so therefore, what we can do is say, Lord, I'm yours. Now, I'm not trying to make this onerous. You know, the Pharisees, what they did is they put weights on people that they were unable to bear, and they did nothing to help them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about starting off a little bit in the beginning with this discipline, not of having quiet time, but starting to show ourselves workmen approved unto God, rightly dividing the truth, who need not be ashamed. Okay. And then as we get into the groove, so to speak, we become addicted. God wants us to be addicted to His word. Addicted to His word. where we just can't help it. It fuses out the very pores of our skin. Why? Because it's truth. It's glorious truth. It's joy. It brings joy. When God's word bloop, pops out of your mouth and you hear it, you're, wow, where did that come from? You know, some words, the King James uses words that are not in common usage, as you know. And I'm not I'm not bound just to the King James. I just use the King James, I think, because I trust it, right? And it says in Proverbs 18. Now, here's an interesting one. And Carrie's got she's had a big, we've had a discussion about this. We had dinner last night, Carrie and Stuart and Anne and I. We had a meal together. Carrie and Stuart prepared the meal. I went and picked it up, brought it up here. We set up our Zoom thing and we had a meal together. It was great. So you can do that. I recommend you do that with your friends. If you've got any friends, you got any friends? Yes. Okay. Do that with your friends and enjoy that fellowship with them, because it's more than just a telephone conversation. It lasted for about 2.5 hours, I think. We're doing this. We've done this 3 times now and it's been great fun to do it. You don't have to worry about tidying the house up. We're not there to see what we're in each other's house. We just want to look at each other and we want to encourage each other. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. And I sent it to Neil late last night. Let me just find this verse for you. It's not a well-known verse, but it's a wonderful verse. And it says that through desire, let me find it, 18, verse 1. It said, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks and intermeddles with all wisdom. Now, you will not find in 99% of the translations, and believe me, Carrie's got them. She must have about 100 translations in her. I mean, she does work for a Bible society. What do you expect? And you'll find that 99% of these translations, they make this sound very, very negative. They talk about a selfish person who goes off and does his own thing, and it's like he's a meddler in the negative sense. But there are several commentaries that I read this years ago, this verse, and it spoke to my heart, and I thought, this means through my desire for the Lord, I'm separating myself, not from people in living in a monastery, but I'm going to spend time separated from other people, from the world, the other activities of the light of the day, the news, the papers, the TV, the internet, all these things. I'm going to separate myself and I'm going to seek after and I'm going to get my hands in and I'm going to intermeddle with all the wisdom of word, God's word. Isn't that a glorious thought? And it is. Now, you read it in some commentaries and other translations, they make it put a very negative stance on it. But I think that's what it's talking about. And even if it isn't, that's what it really means. It doesn't matter. The principle still applies. If we set ourselves apart, if we seek the Lord, if we seek his word, if we say, God, teach me your ways. Psalm 119, the longest verse, chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, but 174 of those verses are about the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? That God's longest chapter is about his word. I think that gives us, that tells us something. Amen? Okay, almost there. All right. Now, this is the final thought. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. It says in, keeps going back, and I don't know why, keeps going back and up at the screen. I think it's because it's connected to my computer and they read the same file is on there. But it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen? Old Testament, it says, and they said, arise that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, this is very good, and are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. If you remember when the people of Israel went into the promised land, they didn't get on with the job of possessing the land. And the enemies were there. They didn't want the battles of winning the land, but the animals that were there, the wild animals, and they were taking their possession. And as a result, they never really fully possessed the land. But God has given us this land. It's this glorious, he's given us the seed. The seed is his word. And our hearts are the land. And he wants us to fully populate our hearts with the truth of his word. and not just knowing it for the sake of knowing it, but applying it. And I think that the more that we start off, we get the whole picture, we read the Bible from one end to the other, we use, I've got some PowerPoint presentations that will take you through the entire Bible in an hour from Genesis to Revelation. Of course, all they're doing is they're giving an overview. If you want them, I can send you them, because what they'll do is they'll help you to understand that when you're reading things, what the chronology is, where how these things took place. Then you've got that framework. You can start to build inside that framework. I want to show you something. Just stay there. You can't go anywhere, really, I suppose. But this is something that my wife has just made. Now, I don't know if what you can see of this. It's a tin, right? It's a little tin. And inside it, she has made this. Every single part of that she had to make. I think there's a chair or something in there. No, it's a stove. It's got about six parts in it. And the size of it is about 3 millimetres, the whole thing. And she's had to assemble this bit by bit. We've been sat opposite each other for the last days as she's done this. It took diligence. It took patience. It took endurance to do it. And there was a lot of setbacks as well, because you glue it in and the glue wasn't sticking, bits were falling out and so on. But now what you end up with is a beautiful little ornament, okay? And the Lord, the same is us. God beautifies the countenance of the righteous, hallelujah. And what he does is he uses his word to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, I've probably said enough. So what I want to do now, finally, is I'm going to share my screen with you. I'm going to talk about something to you which you can use. I think we need the computer sound there, but there we go. Let me see if you have got that. Have you got a picture that says BibleMemory.com on your screen?
Yes.
Excellent. Write down that URL. That URL at the moment is hidden by the... I can pick this up without doing anything with it. Let's try that. Let's move that out of the way. Okay, BibleMemory.com. What I'll do... Whoops. If you just type BibleMemory.com... I will control C that and put that into a chat back to the meeting. Can I do that? No. Okay, perhaps I can't do that at the moment. Right, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this program. It doesn't matter what you've got. If you've got a smartphone, if you've got a tablet, if you've got a laptop, you can download, you could go on to BibleMemory.com. And you can online set up an account on this. And what it allows you to do is to learn scripture. So you can see on the top here now, we've got Psalm 1, verse 1. And I can type it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. 100% accurate. Well, it wasn't difficult. Why? Because I was seeing it on the screen at the same time. If I now go to memorize it, it now gives me every other word. Now, or sorry, blessed, got it wrong. Blessed, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, whoops, got it wrong, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, stand the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right? 93%, not very good. But then you go to master it, and then you type it whole word in. So all of the clues are gone. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And then, okay, I got 100% right. So I actually did better when I didn't have any clues there than when I had the whole thing on the screen. But you can do that, and it's a great way for learning. And I really want to recommend the app. And as I say, you can have it on your phone. Now, what else can you do with it? Well, first of all, you can put any scriptures you like on any translation, and virtually any, it will upload them into the application for you. So you don't have to type them all in. But you can also set up groups. So maybe ladies or whoever, we can set up a group in the church. So maybe two or three of you. I wouldn't recommend big groups. And they don't want to use it for peer pressure either. But what you could do then is every day you can add scriptures, or you can see how people are doing, and you can encourage each other with that. I think that would be a very good use of time. Now, I'm not saying that WhatsApp and all that stuff's not good. But hey ho, anything goes into that. What this does is it focuses on one thing and one thing only, and that is the Word of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So there's a recommendation. So I hope that has encouraged you. I've been encouraged myself listening to the Word, because I hear it as well as say it. But I just believe that this is the greatest opportunity that we have had in our lives. Those of us who can't go to work, who are stuck in, it's the greatest opportunity, probably one we may never, ever get again, to grow in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And let's use this for His glory, because God is looking for people. It says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people who know their God. Right? They know their God. They know their God. They know what He thinks. Couples have been married for years. Look, a raising of an eyebrow can say more than 1,000 words, can't it, men, husbands? Can't it? The raising of an eyebrow. It doesn't have to be it's just an eyebrow going up says it all. Why? Because you get to know each other. And we need to be as intimate with God's Word and with God Himself through His Word as we are with the gestures of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we are with our husbands and wives. We should be intimately acquainted with Him and His Word. So I just want to say thank you for listening. And I pray the Lord will truly bless you. If you want to talk about this, you want any more information about that, if you want to join a group with me, let me know. And we can do something together. Okay, on that basis, back to Tony.
I'd like a copy of that overview, if you wouldn't mind emailing it, John.
Of the overview of what?
You said it explains the Bible from the beginning to the end.
Bible memory.
No, not Bible memory, the other one.
Oh, the PowerPoint.
Yeah.